is in fact Peter Parker.
My entire life got screwed up. Could you make it so that Mysterio never revealed my identity?
You ready?
Whoa, hang on. What just happened?
When I shut that spell down, we started getting visitors.
Looks like we got competition
from every universe.
Welcome to Radio Watson, the talk show discussing movies, music, games, and all things pop culture. I'm your host, Buddy Watson, and today we're discussing the latest Spider-Man movie, Spider-Man No Way Home. Just a quick warning, this podcast is going to be 100% spoilers, so if you haven't seen the film, first of all, what are you doing? Get to a cinema right now. I'm sure they've cancelled enough screenings of your favourite indie darlings to make room for a session that you could see, so go get on that right now. Warning, you have been served. Spoilers from here on out. Thank you. Welcome back to the show, the business lizard himself. Tom Higgins, how are you, Tom?
G'day. And how's it going?
Wow. The very Australian business lizard. I love it, Tom.
Yeah, thanks, man.
No worries. And the modern day recluse, closet American, Bully B.
Hey, man. Hey, that made me so angry.
I knew it would. I was watching. Did you see? I was trying to get eye contact.
Yeah, I wasn't looking. I'm not looking at him because I'm going to get angry.
You know what? Well, we've started strong.
Yeah, like less than 2 minutes into this and already trying to sabotage it with jokes and malarkey. Is that a word in the Star Wars universe, is it?
Malarkey?
Yeah. McClunky.
McClunky. Of course, McClunky Culkin, starting the great Christmas movie Home Alone. But we're not speaking about Home Alone, Macaulay Culkin, or any other things. We're talking about Spider-Man No Way Home. Of course, it's just released in the last week or so. It's taking the internet and film Twitter and film everything and film fans by storm.
And even the odd comic book fan, I reckon. But
yeah, hey. Oh, maybe. I don't know. I don't think comic book fans watch MCU movies, but that's just me. Tom, you're...
Yes.
Let's start. What are your feelings on the old Spider-Man as a character? You a big Spider-Man fan?
Look, put it this way. All right? The year is somewhere between 2014 and 2016 when Amazing Spider-Man 2 came out. And I walked out of that movie and I went, this is great. I love this. So that gives you a benchmark of how I feel about Spider-Man as a character.
Wow.
Because like, shit you not, I'd pay to see that again now.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think more people would pay to see it now in retrospect. Paulie, make fun of the closet American, the Brooklyn, the New York accent.
Yeah, I'm a webhead. Everybody loves... Who doesn't like Spider-Man? Spider-Man has to be the... I mean, is he more popular than Batman? Maybe.
He definitely mirrors...
He's more kid-friendly.
Yeah, he definitely mirrors Batman toys.
I think so. I think him and Batman are the... That's the...
They're the peaks.
They're the leaders.
They're the pound-for-pound champs.
Yeah.
There's nobody's coming close.
If DCU is sending their champion over and Marvel's sending over their champion for a prize fight, it's definitely Spider-Man and Batman with their, I guess, their rogues gallery of villains.
You know what they would do? They would hug it out because that's what I'd want. Because they wouldn't fight each other. Because they would know that they're brethren at heart.
Because Batman is kind of really relatable just because he's a man, doesn't really have superpowers. Spider-Man, even though he's bitten by the radioactive spider and has have powers, depending on what iteration you are with the webs, the web shooters or webs, kind of Tobey Maguire, the webs in the veins, he's more relatable as well, like Batman, because of, I guess, the character of Peter Parker.
Because he's poor.
Yeah, because he's poor. That's right.
I was waiting for that.
But Batman has all our angst, and Spider-Man has all our financial problems.
Yeah. Spider-Man was more human somehow than Batman, but Batman is our raw emotion.
Spidey's like, oh man, my girlfriend hates me, and I got no money. I'm like, bro, I feel you, dude.
All right, so let's get in. We've established that we're kind of a Spider-Man fans, marks, all that and above. Let's get straight into it. First impressions, what did you guys think? Spider-Man, No Way From Home.
Yeah, it was a good time at the movies. I walked out. I felt good things. I like feeling good things. That's a good benchmark for me. as a movie, like, don't get me wrong, it... has its faults, but I think it was, for the most part, well-paced, despite being nearly 3 hours long. yeah, the cast was great. It's not without issues, but yeah, overall, don't hate it.
Hmm. Wow. Such a high benchmark. Yeah. Paulie?
Yeah, I agree that it was very good. Or very good for what it is. I don't agree that it was well paced. I think it's not well paced.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
All right.
And I think on subsequent viewings, Tom, your film palette's not quite where it should be, but you will come to find that on subsequent viewings, without the excitement of waiting for, you know, Easter eggs and references to memes, you'll find that maybe it's a little bit slow in the first half.
I'm gonna glass you, son of a bitch.
It's not everybody, you know.
No, but again, like I said, like I'm biased. Like
it's a good time of the movies. I agree. I enjoyed it. It even maybe struck an emotional chord at certain points. But is it Citizen Kane? Of course not. Nobody thought it was going
to
be Citizen
Kane. I don't think anyone's
Kane.
Comparing it to Citizen
Nobody's
Kane.
Nobody's comparing it to Citizen Kane. So it's a very fine Marvel movie. What did you think, buddy?
Yeah, I thought it was very good. I really liked it. And once again, with kind of what you were saying about the pacing and all that stuff and the anticipation of characters and Easter eggs from previous Spider-Man universes and I guess the villains coming and all that stuff, how would it fare without that excitement? I still think it would fare quite well. Everyone knows that, I guess, listen to RVC or anything else that I've done before. I'm not massive on the Marvel properties, but I do show up for Spider-Man. I'm kind of a bit biased towards him as a character. So I thought it was awesome to see all three Spider-Men in the same movie. It was doing things that you would never think. Like, the best way to describe it for me was I was overlooking all the things that annoyed me in Tom Holland's acting and his version of Peter Parker and his dialogue with Doctor Strange and how they're just flimsy, like, oh, let's just change the universe because Peter's having a hard time because everyone knows his identity is Peter Parker. The whole premise of the movie is just ridiculous, but you don't get a movie without these kind of suspension of disbelief type stuff. So if you just kind of ignore that and let that go, then the fact that whatever it translates to get all the other Spider-Man and all the other villains come back, you know, Willem Dafoe's back there acting his life out and just like, just totally owning it. You get to see Garfield as Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire and the same thing. You get to see all that kind of stuff and little Easter eggs to like Gwen Stacy and how she passed away, which was kind of my favorite moment of the movie. Yeah, it feels like the kind of insane crossover storylines that you would see in comic books come to life. And we've had these like ensemble movies like Infinity War, Endgame. I never really felt like they were comic books come to life. They were just characters from all these different movies put into one movie to make a story, to kind of semi-adapt it to a story that was from a comic book, whereas like this was, I felt like it was a totally, I don't know if this is based off anything, but I felt this was like a totally original, this could be its original comic, and then it's like straight out of the pages onto the screen. So
it was taken from like five different storylines loosely. The whole him trying to get everyone to forget his name, neither here nor there. But I said to Paul once we got out of the movie, and I don't know how you feel about this, but essentially this movie is just, as a standalone movie, I don't know how I'd rate it amongst all the other Spider-Men, because this is just a greatest hits album with maybe one or two new tracks.
Yeah, bonus tracks.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys are looking at me.
Yeah, you got to say something.
Yeah. All right. Well, do you want to start at the beginning and talk about how flimsy of a first act movie has, and how you're just sitting, because we knew what the first act was from the trailer, so we're sitting there for 30 minutes going, I know, just get to the Doc Ock. Like, I understand. Yep, no, you could do this in 15 minutes. Like, this.
Is that a victim of marketing, though? And trailers? And this is a movie that, for the most part, you can't show the second or third, you know, 60% of the movie, anything from the trailer. So it really has to be the opening, because you can't really spoil any of the surprises.
Definitely. But also what you were saying about it, how it just being like, he's just like, oh, we didn't get into MIT. And it's like, dude, you actually thought you were going to get into MIT? It's fucking MIT. You're a kid from Queens. What the fuck are you talking about?
Who do you've
been
you
hanging
think
out with Tony Stark too long. You think you're just fucking gifted things on a plate? Dude, you get a job, bro. just the flimsiness of that, like, oh, we didn't get in. Oh, I guess I have to change the whole fabric of the universe. And, okay, bro.
Yeah, look, it is definitely...
It's a flimsy start. Like, I think it's
flimsy.
Needed
and
another
zany.
Draft right. to be like, maybe it could be like, I don't know.
Something a bit more pressing.
Something a bit more pressing for him to be like, hey, man, I don't know, something like, our May has a disease. Can we fucking do something about that, maybe, Doctor Strange?
Well, then that's like time travel, and then it's kind of going down that route, whereas this is not that. It would be such a cop out to be like, something bad happens to Peter. I'm like, I want to go back in time.
Not even back in time, just like, is there a cure for this disease? No, Peter. Well, there's other universes, right?
Yeah.
Yes, Peter. Well, could there be a cure in one of those universes? Probably, Peter. Well, can you do like the spell thing? Well, I guess so. I'm not doing anything else right now.
Yeah. Well, I feel like just put a load of washing on.
I actually feel like you just described what did happen.
But it is. He's Doctor Strange. Just like, oh, fuck, I guess, kid. I'm not really fucking involved in anything right now. I'm not even the main dude here anymore. So, fucking why not?
Well, like, do you know the comic book that the whole forgetting the name premise comes from, right? Like, that's when he bargains with Mephisto.
Yeah, Mephisto. That's, yeah. Because that's the one that everybody was bringing up when WandaVision was out. Like,
yeah, they're like, oh, it's going to happen.
It's going to tie in. Yeah,
it didn't. Yeah, well. You
dummies.
Yeah, instead, like, and that was, like, at that time, that storyline was heavily criticized as well. Because they're like, it's not great.
It's flimsy.
Yeah. It's flimsy. And then they've gone a step further. It's like, well, here's this comic book that people have kind of criticized a bit. But let's like take the same premise and, I don't know, take more of the foundation away because some kids didn't get into MIT.
It's just silly. Like, okay. Doctor Strange. Okay. You're Doctor Strange. Peter comes to you and he's like, this is what happened. Didn't get into MIT. Can you just, so people don't know my name? And would Doctor Strange not be like, so you don't want to, like, maybe, I don't know, find your parents or bring back Tony Stark or, I don't know, avoid the 5-year snap where half the world's population was gone? Nope, just to get in there. All right.
Damn it, kid. I like the cut of your jib.
You got Ruffles his head. Get in there.
He actually hasn't thought about any of that. And this was his biggest issue. When that popped up. So.
Yeah, it's a very flimsy start to a movie where you're just like, because you've seen the trailers, you're like, I don't care. Give me Doc Ock right now, motherfucker. I want to see him. Bring him to me.
Well, while we're talking...
You animal. You absolute animal.
While we're talking first act, because like, yes, that was definitely like the slowest part of the whole movie. At the same time, it ends a lot quicker than I thought it would. But... can we talk quickly about the whole Charlie Cox rocking up for the cameo? Because it is the most useless fucking cameo I've ever seen. I understand what they're doing. I understand they're trying to, it's like, hey.
Are you hating on the Charlie Cox cameo right now?
Yeah, you know what? I'm with him because that got the biggest cheer in our screening. And I was like, dude, all right. I was thinking about standing. I'd be like, come on, guys. Raise your hand if you actually watched Daredevil.
Do you guys know?
You fucking animals. You predisposed to what to cheer for.
Yeah. You trained monkeys.
Look at you. Look at you all. You're pathetic.
Come on,
simpletons.
Come on, Paul. You would have marked out if Mahershala Ali rocked up as Blade in the end credits.
Yeah, but if he just showed up and started chopping off heads, I'd be like, oh my God.
Well, yeah, no one saw that one coming.
Special guest director, Quentin Tarantino.
But like, again, like I love Charlie Cox as Daredevil. I think he's the quintessential definition.
Love Daredevil. I probably love Daredevil more than I love Spider-Man.
And like,
but at the same time, it's like, all right, well, that's a bit okay. Like, it's great. Love to see him there, but it felt cheap.
I liked it.
He doesn't show up in the third act. What was that we were saying? Yeah. It's like, ooh, if they come in Hell's Kitchen, ooh, Doc Ock, one foot in Hell's Kitchen.
You're just lucky you're in Manhattan, huh? Get out of here.
Hey, Daredevil, Spidey's getting his ass kicked. Where? Harlem. Ah, can't help him. If it was in Hell's Kitchen, ooh.
Oh, I like the fact that does that mean Jessica Jones is in this universe? Can we get her back as Jessica Jones? That's going to happen.
Well, big Willie Fisk rocked up in
Hawkeye.
Yeah, that's that show.
I don't watch it.
Neither do I, but I know Willie Fisk rocked up, and Vinny D'Onofrio is he was born to play that role.
Hmm. So where do you want to start? I guess the biggest talking point, I guess, is the three Spider-Men, right? That was the biggest.
Well, why don't we take our time to get there? Why don't we turn this into a little, you know, a
leisurely affair?
People want to hear the hot takes. I know what they want, but
let's get into the second act.
Let's talk about the
five or six people just
the villains showing up and that whole. Probably, I thought, was the most interesting part of the movie. The whole subsection where Peter's just running around with, like, his fucking rogues gallery just, like, hanging out.
Yeah, I actually loved that part.
Yeah, that was great. That was actually cool. I was like, damn, you are, like, putting the potential Sinister Six together in one room. And they're just going to, like,
just not smart. He's just not making like smart decisions.
Oh, that's probably why I dislike this first iteration of Peter Parker and...
And Willem Dafoe. From the second he's on screen...
He has a presence.
Is so charismatic and so just elevating the entire thing by being so earnest in his, you know, we're so used to like the villains being 10 feet tall purple CGI aliens, and now you've just got this guy fucking acting, and he's good acting, and you're immediately enthralled, and you're like, this is amazing. This is great. And then he's earnestly playing like a lost old man. And you're like, oh my God, this is fucking...
He plays this.
They're doing things. This is great.
Feeble old man that's, you know, lost and alone in the world to just being the most menacing presence on the screen. Oh, just the way he looks at people and just like the gravitas in his voice when he speaks.
The turn in his face.
Yeah.
Just what he's doing with his face as an actor is fucking amazing.
Years of age lines with that kind of ability. It's Jim Carrey-esque, like, mush your face.
Yeah, he does have a very rubbery face.
I guess that's why Michael B. Jordan's character in like Black Panther is kind of earmarked as like one of the higher villains as well, because he had like emotional depth, a bit more of a motive than, once again, what you were saying before. Just a guy in big purple... CGI that wants to destroy the universe. We've seen him a dime a dozen.
And
an actual villain with layers.
And I thought Doc Ock was legitimately scary in some parts. There was a point where they're talking to him. He's in a sanctum of Doctor Strange, and he's talking to the kids, and then he turns and he screams, and I jumped out of my skin. I was like, dude, you are scary. I'm scared of you, Doc Ock.
But then they diminished that so quickly by like making him like a punchline.
Yeah, they had to do their Marvel. They had to get their quip in.
Oh, and like Spider-Man, it's quippy, right? That's why Spider-Man's for quips. But like, I don't know. Yeah, they like Doc Ock. You're right. Was the, like being menacing. You're like, this is Molina's acting.
Molina and Dafoe are like head and shoulders above. A lot of people that have been in Marvel movies, and it's just a whole different level of acting that you're experiencing. And that part of the movie, especially after a flimsy first act, really like sucked me in.
But it makes sense for his character, right? The whole like the arms are taking over. It's kind of giving him these migraines. This is like the cause of the rage, the anger. So for that to get neutralized, and then
I mean, both of those guys are just revisiting a performance that they gave
20 years ago.
With their eyes closed.
They're so good. And there's, I hate to say it, but they're so much better than anything else that you've been given in a Marvel movie. And they're not even from a Marvel movie. Do you know what I mean? Or the MCU. They're just plucked out of a better film from 20 years ago and then placed into this one and been like, huh? Huh? And you're like, I know it's good. Like, I've always known it's good. It was good in 2002.
Straight from the Raimi verse.
Yeah. But that section I really loved.
Yeah. And I did have some issues with it as well. Not so much the act, but like the characters that we had. So like we got the return of obviously Jamie Foxx, which they kind of glossed over. It's like, hey, weren't you a weird nerd that was blue? I sure was.
Sure was. you silly Spider-Man. How we laughed.
But like the biggest one that made no sense to me was Flint Marko, Sandman. All right. At the end of Spider-Man 3, all right.
Preach, Tom.
He fades away. He's like, hey, thanks, Peter. I understand I did you wrong. I understand.
I'm not even really a villain. I'm just trying to do this for my daughter.
And then I'm gonna fade away into the distance.
Yeah, how did you feel about that? His whole character arc was like, because at the end of three, he's like, you know what? I'm not such a bad guy after all. And then he shows up and he's like, you know what? I'm not such a bad guy. Hey, wait a minute.
It was weird because I felt from when he first initially showed up, then it was like, all right, I understand what's happening. I just want to get back to my universe because in my land, I'm not dead like all you other suckers at the hands of Spider-Man. So it is in my best interest to facilitate all you guys getting better. And then like the moment that kind of plan for Peter or Tom Holland's Spidey breaks down, then it's like, yeah, fuck it, I'm going to be bad again. Like, why wouldn't you try and rein in?
You were just helping him, and now he's like, no, you know what, Jamie Foxx, you got a fucking point, man. Fuck this shit. Let's fucking do some crime.
I like how you're not blue anymore. Yeah. Let's do business.
If you were blue, I wouldn't listen to you, buddy, but you got a nice fade, and yeah.
And here's the other thing, right? They bang on about, like, you know, the reasons that they were plucked out of their universe. It's like each of these people were plucked out just before they died at the hands of Spider-Man, but Flint Marko was not one of them.
Right.
He lives happily forever after.
As far as we know, you know.
And they're like saying that villains that knew who
didn't know Peter Parker was Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Makes no sense. Needed another draft. Fix your first act, fix your Sandman.
Max Dillon straight up didn't know who Peter Parker was.
Yeah, he didn't know until the end because he's like,
black.
Yeah, I didn't know you were white. This is uncomfortable.
Yeah. So, you know, I take a bit of issue with some of that. But at the same time, as a vehicle to have the greatest hits of villains, and yeah, sure, whatever.
It's easily forgiven, yeah, but it's very flimsy.
But lots of fun.
But yeah, well, yes, lots of fun, lots of fun. The Doctor Strange and Spidey fight was just, I mean, I get it. You have to have, if you're going to put two heroes in a movie, there has to be a small section of a movie where they fight.
Yeah, it's the Civil War effect. They have to have a disagreement.
They did it in Avengers, Cap and Thor met for the first time, had to throw down. That's how you get the respect, you know? Yeah. You got to...
Everyone fights everyone.
Everyone fights everyone. Me and Tom do every time we meet. We just fucking, we throw down and we go, right, all right. You have my respect for now.
That's it. And then a wizard shows
until
up.
Until we meet again.
I just dislike Doctor Strange's character in general. So for me, I was like, meh, I don't really care that you're in this movie. And even later on, when the after credits type thing, I was like, oh, I waited around for this. Where's Mahershala Ali? So yeah, the villains were quite good. Jamie Foxx, the only the blue guy. And just Jamie Foxx playing Jamie Foxx.
Yeah,
being
Jamie
Foxx and being kind of cool, which I thought, you know, was much better for his character than what it was in The Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Two, was he in?
Yeah.
Number two?
Yeah.
So, the lizard guy didn't really get, that doc didn't really get any.
Yeah.
Kirk any Connors moments.
Didn't get a lot of play, but.
Didn't get a lot of play.
Yeah, had a not quite lizard man. He doesn't have a snout.
Should have a snout.
Give the man a fucking
character
snout.
Design. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
He should have a snout.
Yeah, I understand it.
They're like, oh, it's a dinosaur. I'm like, no, it doesn't look like a lizard man because he doesn't have a snout. If he had a snout, then I would get you saying he's a dinosaur man. He would look like a raptor from Jurassic Park. But at the moment, he looks like a turtle.
He looks like a green Goomba.
He looks like
a Goomba.
It's the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah.
Banger.
Except for less terrifying.
That's fine. They knew where their bread and butter was with Dafoe and...
That would have been like Molina 2 days of work for him, if that.
Well, him and Flint Marko is just voice work and then show up for one day on set to get like half your face shot on a green screen.
Yeah, that's true.
Easy paycheck.
For a lot of money. Easy paycheck. How much?
Worth it.
Give me the microphone. I'll do the whole fucking thing. No problem.
Let's talk about the reveal of the Spider-Man when they show up. Garfield
got a lot of play. I'm glad he did.
Garfield really got...
Garfield's the best Spider-Man.
He got his time to shine in this, absolutely.
He's the 100%. Best Spider-Man. He's the most... Out of the three actors that we have that have played Spider-Man, I think he's the most charismatic. I think he's the best actor to do it. He was... he had the misfortune of being in bad films.
Yeah, he's both the most charismatic actor, and he's also both the most charismatic Spider-Man. It's just how they played him in The Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2, which kind of got me a bit... on the nose with this whole skateboarding and like this.
Well, he's a cool, edgy.
Yeah, it felt like I was speaking to Dylan Blight about this. It felt like they wanted to kind of make him that like the nerd, but the modern day nerd, and like being the skater punk, the outsider and that stuff. But it was like 10 years too late where now the skater is just like, yeah, what is this? You've kind of missed the boat here.
Yeah, they didn't know what they were doing with those movies. They were just like, we just need to make something.
They were just throwing things at walls, weren't they? It was just like a shotgun.
And which is now we have more solid proof that that was a tragedy, because he's good. I don't really like Toby. That's my whole thing. I don't really like Toby as an actor. He doesn't do anything for me. But Garfield is fucking charismatic. As soon as he comes on, even before he takes off the mask and he's coming down the alley and through the
he does Doctor a lot Strange of body. Like,
he does a lot. He's a physical actor, and I really like what he does with the character.
Yeah, he's just like
whereas length. Toby's just like, hey, what's up, man? Yeah. And then they CGI him doing flips, and he's like, yeah,
no, that was me.
Yeah, I was totally like weapon guys.
Because, like, I know Tom Holland, like, every interview where he's talking about Spider-Man, he goes on about how it's like, oh, it's such a physical performance, and that's how he's trying to emote this, that, and the other. But Andy Garfield rocks up for, like, one scene, and all he does is he's just kind of, I don't know, flailing his arms and moving his shoulders a bit.
He's got a lot of shoulder movement, you know what I mean?
Like, hey, yo! Up here, all right, face. The man is just running circles, and that's why I loved the Amazing Spider-Man movies, because it had such potential. And then I just create the rest of the movie in my own head.
I spoke to Kim after this, and I'm like, have you seen any trailers for this? Like, no. Did you know the villains returning? No. So you had no idea that Spider-Man were coming either. It was like, no. She's like, I had no idea any of this was happening. I'm like, what'd you think? She's like, yeah, it was fine. It's good. So I'm like, okay.
It's a very Kim response.
Very Kim response. And then, like you said, Tobey Maguire kind of shows up.
He doesn't,
and looks like a man who hasn't slept in like 40 years.
Can we talk about that scene?
Yeah. How it's like
very cinematic for Garfield Spider-Man to show up, and then they're like, oh yeah, and the other guy's here. Yeah. He just rocks up in like what he wore to set that day, and he's like, hey guys, yeah, no, I'm the original Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in the Miami once. That's cool.
Remember? I'm not going to talk too much though.
I haven't been in a film since like 2010. I'm a terrible person.
Was he in that?
Google me. No, Google me. I'm a terrible person. I'm pretty shitty. I dare you to Google me.
Was he in that horse?
You
guys
movie?
Remember Seabiscuit?
Yeah, that was fucking 2005. Just know, like, Google me. It's it'll really like whatever.
Yeah, no, McGuire, like, definitely. Andrew
Garfield. It was just so lazy because he just like walks on the set, like,
saunters,
and you're like, all right. I thought he'd get the bigger play. Like, and when I was watching that scene in the cinema, I was like, all right, Garfield now. And you save Toby because Toby's the favorite. He's saving for the end. That, like, I would have had Holland and Garfield getting their ass kicked by like five villains, and then the original Spider-Man shows up and starts fucking laying fucking dudes down with webs and shit.
Gets down. He's like finally defeated the villains. They're like,
and he like pulls off the mask, and the whole crowd would be like, rah. He's like, you guys all right? Let's fucking do this shit. That's what I would have done. But I don't work for Marvel.
There's again, like, Toby has never been that good of an actor to portray any of that. I didn't like him as a Spider-Man at all. Just didn't have the presence. He played a nerd really well.
I don't know if he played it. I think he just played a really weird, creepy guy. That's how I felt about his Peter Parker.
Well, again,
he was like, you know, standing outside waiting for fucking Mary Jane to come out of her house while she's being abused by her dad.
And man, that's and in like, high school. Hey, that's in his 30s.
And yeah, he's like 35 years old. Mary Jane!
Oh, look. Raimi, like, his movies were camp and, like...
They were very camp, yeah.
But, like...
And off their time.
Yeah. Like, Toby was never that great of a Spider-Man.
I think the original choice of Leo would have been the better choice
for those... Can you imagine that?
For those movies. I'm not even a big Leo fan, but I think he would have been, you know...
Imagine the Leo pointing at the TV gif and it's him dressed as Spider-Man. Now, I can't unsee it. So, yeah, what else to jump into?
Let's talk about Aunt May.
Well, I want to talk about Tom Holland. Like,
oh yeah, that's okay. Right. He's in there.
Oh yeah, he is.
Tom Holland's in the film as well.
That's right. He is our Spider-Man.
And we're just talking about, you know, talking Andrew Garfield up and absolutely destroying Tobey Maguire. So where does Tom Holland sit in this? For me, I don't know when it was. Like, maybe a couple of years ago, I have decided that I just don't like Tom Holland as an actor. I don't feel he's a great actor. I could be totally wrong. Maybe he just annoys me as a person. And in performances, I feel like he is always the same type of character. And it must just be, maybe it's just this representation of Peter Parker, how it's written in the MCU, where it's got to be like cheap laughs and cheap thrills, where it's kind of like he's a bumbling idiot and falling all over himself. And I know he's like a high school kid that's kind of trying to be making mistakes and doing all these dumb decisions, but I feel like it's just slightly too...
Bit slapsticky. Like,
it's a bit slapstick for me. And when Garfield rocked up, and it was just like Defoe's in the movie, Molina, it's like, okay, you're making like, so a lot of people say this is Tom Holland's, you know, big moment, where he's like, it's kind of Christian Bale's Dark Knight Rises, where he gets to finally have a moment instead of being overpowered by the villains. But I feel like the Aunt May thing, dying, he has all these moments at the end as well. Peter Parker, everyone's going to forget this emotion. I'm just like, fuck, you just got over, your moments got over overall, like,
he had too many moments.
Well, it's just got overruled by all the other greatness that was happening on. They kind of just got lost in the shuffle. I'm like, is that because of him? Is it because of what's happening? I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, for me, like, because again, massive Spider-Man fan. Like, I loved Homecoming. I liked Far From Home. You know, talked about how great they were for various reasons with no objection at all, because I don't look at those movies like objectively at all. But yeah, like, I feel that Holland in this movie, doesn't matter what he did, he was always going to be overshadowed by like the sheer amount of spectacle in theater that was going to be in this. So like, yeah, he had some big moments, like the Aunt May thing, right? Like, that was definitely like, it pulled on heartstrings. It did what it was meant to do, but at the end of the day, we're not talking about that. We're talking about how Andy Garfield rocked up. That was cool. So yeah, like, I agree with you. Ultimately, I think all of his definitive moments, just
Paul, definitive moments, and Tom Holland as an actor.
Yeah, I like him. I think he's
you like
good.
Him. You dig him?
I think I agree that there are problems, but I don't think it's him. I think it's
the script and how I think it's the writing. It's played out.
Yeah. He doesn't have. Like, you think about his arc in this movie, and it's like, I want to help the villains. Okay, now I don't want to help the villains. Ah, okay, I help the villains. That's his arc. Like, he doesn't, it's not a real, well, you know what I mean? The movie is constructed in a way to bring all these people back, and less so to give him any sort of, like, character growth or arc, really.
It's only when halfway through, when the Aunt May type thing happens, it's like, kind of like, you needed to lose something, just like all the other Spider-Man, to kind of have your moment of, do you push too far, or can you overcome it to become a hero and kind of let that rage blindside you? But by that moment where it's halfway through, like you said, you've already had those moments like, do I help? Do I not help? Do I help? Like, what am I? Wishy-washy?
Because he was already like, you're right, Aunt May, I'm going to help him. And then Aunt May dies and he's like, well, fuck, now I'm not going to help him. I'm going to murder him. Now I'm going to murder
you're
him.
You're all dead.
Now I'm going to kill him. You're dead. When I catch you, you're fucked, mate. But yeah, I think it's like he had a 3-10 movie origin story, right? To get to the point where he gets the great power, great responsibility shit from, and he gets from Aunt May instead of Uncle Ben, which is fine. I think that's great.
I think it's a cool twist.
But yeah, I don't think he had much of an arc, so it comes across hollow. Even though I thought he was acting his butt off when he was doing the whole, you know, Dark Knight in the Rain, like, ooh, I'm going to fucking hurt that guy. But yeah, I think it's the writing that let it down.
Just can't get around him at all. Enjoy Uncharted.
So Aunt May dying.
Yeah, I think it's a great twist. I think it's a part of the memes about, you know, Uncle Ben. Oh, we're going to have to see Uncle Ben die again.
Yeah.
And we get that playful moment between Garfield. Well, it wasn't even playful, just a moment between Garfield and Tobey Maguire where they're like, Uncle Ben died. Like, so did my Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
So I thought that was great. And I did not see it coming at all. I guess that I was just kind of lost in the spectacle of it all. Like, we're not going to see Uncle Ben die. Cool. Glad they didn't do this. And then when shit's come down, I'm like, oh shit, they're doing the reverse. I'm like, this is cool.
It was good. I'm glad they finally got that line, because that line is so important to who Spider-Man is.
Yeah.
And to use it there in his third film, in the third film of a trilogy, is really kind of a smart move, isn't it?
Well, it definitely sets up the ending to be more like of an impact, because that's kind of where I started coming back around on Holland Spider-Man. But because of all of this, and, you know, he starts off, you know, with the silver spoon in his mouth, right? But by the end of this, we get the Peter Parker that we know and love. Broke his shit. Making his own stuff.
Rinsed you.
Yeah.
The rinsed you Peter Parker, which is the one we want. We don't want the Playboy intern at Stark Industries Peter Parker. Because then he's just a rich kid.
He's just Iron Man light.
Yeah, just Iron Man light. What do you think about that? What do you think about the when the sky was breaking apart? What do you think about the
silhouettes,
the little hints to other Spider-Man villains? You know, Rhino, Scorpion, Kraven the Hunter.
Just give me the man in a gray just suit, the face hole.
The goddamn villains in a movie.
Yeah, no, because like I know you and I got
Brock Lesnar, in a big gray rhino thing with a giant horn coming out of his head
and lopsided eyes.
Dub his voice. I don't care. He doesn't need to act. Just do it and do it now.
It's just Paul Heyman speaking for him.
It was good, like to see like your classic lineup just in these silhouettes. It's like, oh,
you want Morbius coming through the sky there.
I don't want Morbius though. You can keep that film. You can take that away. I don't need that.
Keep the character.
I don't need that whole thing. Enough for me. I'm sorry. Enough for me.
How'd you feel about all the meta jokes?
Didn't like it. Hated all the meme references. I hated it. And people in the audience ate it up. But don't cheapen it. Don't spit in my face. You know what I mean? You have a little respect for what you do. You know, it's a craft. You know what I mean? You're taking the piss now. You're jerking off.
They were jerking off when they were like, hey, let's do a greatest hits movie. But then,
you got a pass for just being like, remember these other movies that are better than the ones that we make? We're going to put it in
this one. Into the Spider-Verse really did that, didn't it? With its success of like having the different Spider.
That's definitely what like, made, that was definitely what made them
like,
go,
like, damn,
oh, dude, we could do this. Yeah.
Let's have an Avengers of Spider-Man.
That's where obviously where the idea came from, I think. Yeah.
Mm. It's got me pumped for Into the Spider-Verse too, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Super keen.
Yeah, we'll be good.
Aunt May, there's that moment. I guess from there, we jumped into
Well, what did you think about the third act? Let's talk about the showdown. You know what I mean?
CGI fight in the sky.
The big CGI fight in the sky. I liked they had the moment. You know, they're sort of like, all right, he's like, I know how to work in a team. I've worked in a team before. I was like, okay, that's nice. Yeah. It makes sense for him to then be the guy calling the shots because these other guys work alone.
They don't know what's up.
And they've got no friends.
Of like incoherency, like getting in each other's way. That was really cool. And that would make sense.
And I like the brief moments that each Spider-Man had with each of his villains. Like I liked the moment with Garfield and Jamie Foxx. I liked all that part, the Flint Marco when he's almost drowning in the sand. That was good.
Yeah. There was a lot of good like moments. Even the way the three Spider-Men interact with each other, I liked. Like I felt it was, I don't know, it was cute.
It was cute.
But they're so different, right? Cute. Like Garfield the charismatic, you know, Tom Holland the bumbling fool, and then like the play it straight Maguire. Like they all like complemented each other.
Oh, it's the Three Stooges.
Yeah. The Three Stooges. The Three Spooges?
The Three Spooges. Well,
I don't know where you're going with that. That's real bad. That's real bad. Cut that.
We don't cut things. We don't edit here. You know that. I liked the end scene. It was quite good. And then the whole Tobey Maguire got stabbed. Like,
okay. You know, okay. Right. Hold on.
Yeah. Whoa. I think we're on the same page.
We're getting spicy. Because, great moment. You knew it was coming. Tom had called it before it even happened. He knew that whole sequence was going to play out in that exact way. What I don't think Tom knew was then Tobey Maguire was going to just shrug it off and get up and be like,
I've been stabbed before.
Hey, I'm fine.
No biggie.
No, it's just my entire intestinal tract is punctured by a giant blade, but it's all right. I'm fine. Let's wrap this bitch up.
Plus, they play fast and loose with how spider sense fucking works.
I know. What, did he not sense that coming?
It's just like, or was he just like, I get stabbed so much that this is nothing for me now?
You know, I'm just going to let him stab me. I'm fucking old. I'm over the shit.
I've got no one back in my universe.
Yep.
This is sad.
I'm done. I'm basically retired Spider-Man.
But I did like them, Garfield and Toby having that moment of like, it was a nice little joking moment, but then it was like he was just fine.
Yeah, it was like, enough to anger me substantially.
Yeah. Oh, you've had your stomach pierced by a blade. Yeah, you can stand just fine. That's how that works.
He's got super spider strength, you know? You know what I'm saying? Give the guy a break.
If you've got super spider strength, then...
Rip off his arms and see how it goes?
Yeah, would you not... I mean, then would the blade pierce his... I don't know. We're getting into deep water here, but none of it makes sense.
Yeah.
None of it makes sense if you look at it longer than 2 seconds.
But yeah, as soon as that fight was happening, I'm like... I'm getting stabbed.
Yeah. I thought they were going to kill him off. I thought, this is fucking fantastic. You fucking geniuses. You pulled this together at the last minute and you came up with something cool because now you're going to kill off this guy.
It's Disney. They can't kill him off. Yeah, they can't kill anybody. That was happening. Yeah. When they stabbed him, I'm like, oh, this is brave. And I'm like, damn, Willem Dafoe's just like, Green Goblin is the man. He just wasting fools. He's
fucking shit. Who's next? He's just capping Spider-Man. He don't give a fuck. But yeah, and then they're like, we can't kill him. But it would have made more sense to at least have one of them go, because I feel like now you've had this movie, you've had this event, and now people would be like, do it again.
Yeah.
Bring it back. Yeah. Do it again. I want to see it again. And it'll obviously get cheaper and cheaper in its effect each time. But if you kill them off,
then yeah, that's a statement.
It makes it more definitive to what's happening in your movie instead of being like, I don't know, man. Maybe we want to throw another $1 billion at this thing.
Next year.
You have to come to the movies to find out, huh?
We see Maguire get stabbed, like, falls down. It's like there's a long shot back. It's like Garfield, Spider-Man's like 20 meters away. No! Throws down his skateboard, jumps on it, starts riding towards, does like this massive fucking ollie off a ramp over the water to the cap shield. Does like a fucking kick flip, lands that, and then like kicks the board forward into like Green Goblin's face, whacks him down.
Payoff. A decade in the making of payoff. And like, oh, I knew that skateboard was going to come back into it.
Oh, dude.
Blowing my fucking mind.
He kickflips into the air. It doesn't even land. He spider webs it midair, like swings it around 360, just like whacking people. Just dropping Green Goblin left, right, and center.
I mean, that moment where he catches MJ, where Garfield catches MJ, is probably...
Avril Lavigne starts playing.
Like, you knew that was coming from the trailer, but I think that was the best emotional moment I had.
It was awesome. His acting,
what he's doing with his face, like, just sort of, like, holding it in.
Not because of, like, the moment, just him. Like,
yeah, yeah. He's fantastic.
The Aunt May moment was definitely like, all right, this is a moment where we could get you to cry. And I was like, I wasn't, like, teary or anything. It was the opposite. I was like, oh, damn, this is such a cool decision. Like, I was kind of out of it.
Mm.
Like, damn, I could cry right now if I didn't realize this was just an amazing moment. And then when the Garfield happens, it's just like,
Even just him sobbing was what, like, fucking killed me.
It was like holding, that one moment for me was in the cinema, was like holding your breath for like 2 minutes and then exhaling. It's like, all in like the split second of oh, damn, that's...
Like, yeah.
That's the moment right
I think
there.
I called it
That's the most rewarding kind of Easter egg moment.
That was the most... That was one that where I was like, yes, that's what they're supposed to feel like. That's what it's supposed to do. You know, it's you're fixing things that you know you didn't get to address. You know, it's perfect character growth. It's a great moment. Now do that for your main character instead of
give it to Garfield
who's probably not going to come back.
Yeah,
unless you throw $100 million at him.
Even then,
and be like, let's do it again, guys, because it made so much money. Still, we didn't even have a good plot for the first one, so it doesn't fucking matter, does it? And we'll let Daredevil fight in this one. It'll happen in Hell's Kitchen.
See, now I'm in again.
I would love that. Of the last fight, they're just fucking getting their asses kicked, and they get hit all the way to fucking a sign that ding, and it says Hell's Kitchen, and just fucking he walks out in his bright yellow leotard, just like, oh, you fucking made a mistake, son. You made a mistake coming here. I've got a stick. And he starts kicking ass.
Yeah, no, I'd be for that.
I would be for that.
Make give me the second movie, but yeah, that ending there. Except for when the hits the sign, the villain has to like brush themselves up. All right?
They're like,
they look up, they see Hell's Kitchen, and then you just see this figure right from behind. All right, you just see the silhouette. You're like, wait,
tell me what it is. Here's the sign, gets up, brushes himself off, looks over, and there's just like an Irish bar. And he just walks out. Battling Mac Murdo. He's shadowboxing already. Oh, you fucked up, son. You shouldn't have came here. I told you, you gotta get it. I got a stick, it joins together. It's going in one end and coming out the other. You're fucked, son.
It's like doing these ones. It's like,
yeah, the wind-up punch. He's just boxed. He's not even fighting Kung Fu. He's seriously like old-timey boxing the shit out of Green Goblin. Just
little right hand, little right hand, jab.
Yeah,
jab.
He's got the little like birdies.
pure nonsense. Anyway,
that's Daredevil's next movie.
There we go. Script Marvel, it up, son.
Hire us. We'll write that shit for peanuts.
Hey, just pat us in the back and tell us that we're good. Please.
Right. So where does this? There's, I guess there's a few different kind of rankings we can put this in. I guess we've already gone through ranking as Spider-Man, where it's Garfield unanimously, and then is it Holland? Then Toby, I guess.
I would put Holland there.
I would put Holland
as an actor. But I think you would find, buddy, that a lot of people would agree. Well, maybe not even agree. They would put Toby first, and then.
Holland, even though I don't think Holland's a good actor, I think he's a better written Peter Parker, even though he's bumbly and like making all these different mistakes than kind of 30-year-old high school student Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, yeah.
Toby had the better movies.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. He's just, yeah, absolutely. In terms of...
He got lucky.
Yeah, he got very lucky.
He's a punk.
Yeah. All right. This isn't a world before you got to have a Green Goblin or a Dr. Octopus.
Hey, Toby, you know what? We're going to get an actual actor to play the villain. How you like that, huh? How you like that?
How you like that he's sport?
Oscar nominated actor. We're going to get that. He's going to prop you right up. Yeah, you don't have to do nothing.
Come back for a sequel. We're going to get another actor.
It worked the first time. Third time, maybe we'll just get Topher Grace.
Yeah, he didn't get called up to the big leagues, did he?
No. It's like they needed like three different villains to try and make up for one super actor. Like three okay actors. Sorry, Franco. What about MCU movie? This falls in the MCU universe, right? Yeah. Even though it's a Sony one?
It's still an MCU movie.
Yeah, so how do you feel about that? What is it?
Where does it rank?
Where does it rank?
I stopped ranking these things a long time ago.
I've got a ranking on Letterboxd.
Of course you do.
Of course you do, you sick son of a bitch.
So, this...
Have you popped it into your rankings yet?
It's in there.
Where is it?
It's number four.
Behind?
But don't get excited. Because the top one on the list is only 4 stars, right? And this was 3.5, and everything under that is 3s and 2s. You know what I mean? So there's not a lot of.
All right, calm down. You can keep your cinephile card.
There's not a lot. Thank you. That's what I'm saying. I'm a card carrying cinephile, and I don't.
He doesn't
anybody,
want Marty's Scorsese.
I don't want Marty just rocking up behind me with a pistol, just like you broke my heart, son. I'm not trying to get whacked, right?
Marty ain't going to rock up to your house and like behind you in a pistol. It's like Paul's going to walk outside of his front door. It's going to be a long, long shot. He walks down his steps, puts his keys in his car, opens his car, gets in the car, close shot of turning on ignition, long shot out.
No.
And then it cuts to Marty behind a tree smoking a cigarette.
So you like the MC movies, huh?
If anyone's doing that, that's me.
You ain't going to be in the sequel.
No. What happens is you get invited to like a director's brunch or something, and you're like, oh my, Martin Scorsese and Tommy, Martin Scorsese, he's still one of our short films and he's invited us to the-. And I rock in, and then it's like an empty room. Hey, what's going on? Back of the head. Like Goodfellas, son, just lying down, and Tommy's getting the call, like, he's what? And they're like, yeah, man, he's not, didn't work out, sorry. And then Tommy does the whole De Niro fucking hitting the phone on the fucking the receiver. God, he's a fucking whacked him, son, he fucking whacked him.
I've got fucking Tommy coming out of the building, like, stressed and anxious, like, and then fucking Paul, like, being thrown off the building, lands in front of him. Anyway, yeah, so number four, what is it behind?
Yeah, what is your top ranking ones?
Avengers, Civil War, and something else, I don't know.
All right.
OG Avengers?
Yeah, OG Avengers, Civil War, and then maybe... Guardians? I don't fucking know. One of those fucking cardboard films.
Yeah, fair.
One of those Mickey Mouse films.
Why are Civil Mouse War films? Is two? What?
I think Civil War, that's the third act of Civil War actually has a lot of emotional stuff going on, between
it takes a
between
lot
Cap
to get
and
there,
Iron yeah. Man. It takes it takes ages to get there, but that their actual conflict of him being like, dude, he killed my mom, and Cap being like, yeah, no, he's my friend, and Iron Man's being like, yeah, but I'm your fucking friend too, or we're supposed to be, and that sort of conflict of them, that the emotional of that fight puts it up there for me, because it a lot of those films end with, you know, big laser in the sky CGI, this is just two guys in a room, fucking it's fucking Heat, baby.
What a flick.
And, you know, Avengers is just the first one. It's pure spectacle. It's the first time you've ever seen anything like that.
It was magic, wasn't it?
Done pretty well. Also, flimsy first act.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm seeing a lot of similarities with the MCU. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they make money.
But they do make money, son. They make a lot of money.
Speaking of money, they were making so much money on the latest Spider-Man and the opportunity to make more money that they'd recently cut some screenings of...
Nightmare Alley?
Yep.
Which I didn't even realize that was out. They have not promoted it that much. You know what I mean?
I didn't even know it was a thing.
You know, Del Toro.
They're like, Del Toro's new movie.
Won a fucking Oscar last time he was out. And then they're like.
They're all doing that thing where like, oh, we got new movies from these directors this year. And something about Marvel, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, wait, well, what? Del Toro's new movie? What the hell is that? And then it's like, oh, it's this movie that's like, hasn't been promoted. And it's
I haven't even seen a trailer for it.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, see this movie instead. Ignore.
It doesn't. They really don't give a fuck about it. I mean, it's kind of sad because
you got to make the money though, right? If you're a small, it's weird. Like if you're a cinema, you got to take the seats, right?
Well, see, it comes from Disney, not the cinema, because Disney did the same thing to Tarantino when he released Take 4.
But they
had
that in the contract, right, where it had to show in a particular amount of
that's what theaters. They said. They were like,
"That's what they
take
was
him
excuse.
Off the biggest screen. We want the biggest screen." But yes. It's just, you know, their big dick on
they're
the table.
Bullies, right?
They're bullies. It's what happens when you have a monopoly. On
the
industry,
only media company in
and
the world.
So smaller budget, medium budget films are dying, and like that's Scorsese's point was he's having trouble getting a movie financed, and if Scorsese can't get his movie financed, how can Celine Sciamma, how can fucking any of these smaller but great
how
filmmakers,
Paulie Bird and Tommy Higgins,
how can fucking Paulie? It's what hope do we have if Martin fucking Scorsese is like, hey man, I've got DiCaprio, De Niro, Jesse Plemons all in this one fucking movie. Do you want to finance it? And everybody's going, nah. You know what? We don't want it. You're due for another Goodfellas, but fuck it. So what chance have you and I got, the bumbling fools that we are, going, hey, mister, please, can you please put a couple peanuts in my hat so I can make movies?
Yo, Marty, say you do make a movie. And it does get to a cinema. It does go up against Disney. Brother. You are going down.
And I don't think either of you guys have seen Black Widow, though, right?
No,
so Ray Winstone plays the villain in Black Widow, but he is stylized after Marty Scorsese.
Oh, really?
He has the gray hair, the big thick rim glasses, and he gets blown up in the end, and the thick rim glasses go flying into the screen. And I'm like,
oh, no, sure. Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Watch it, man. Bro, I'm telling you, watch it just for that. That's why I watched it, because people are like, why'd they make fucking Martin Scorsese the villain of Black Widow?
What?
And it's
is fascinating.
It's so disrespectful that I was like, oh, that really it made me angry. You got balls, son.
Yeah.
But nobody's going to remember this fucking flick in 30 years, and everybody's going to remember Goodfellas. And I just feel like you guys are very sensitive to that fact. That you would do it's so petty.
It is.
It's so underhanded. What? The fucking billions of dollars isn't enough for you? You want the respect as well?
They want the prestige. Yeah. They want the acclaim. They want the little gold statues.
Then fucking finance Martin Scorsese's movie, you dumb fucks. It's not hard.
Apparently it is.
Scorsese is going to do the Daredevil movie, Paul.
I'll fucking watch that. Yeah. Set in the 70s? Set in the 70s?
Yeah.
Fucking watch that. De Niro's Kingpin. Get fucking D'Onofrio out of there, bro. I don't want to see it. I want De Niro's Kingpin.
Opens with a De Niro narration.
Yeah. We're getting...
It's summer.
Yes. The hottest summer in New York, 1978, and there's fucking gangs and graffiti on the street, and fucking Matt Murdock's just a battling lawyer that likes to box and shit. And make that movie, son.
Yeah,
that's $1 billion. That's $1 billion idea right there.
Who and do you put get it on to Netflix? Play Matt Murdock,
de-aged Robert De Niro. He's playing dual roles like Eddie Murphy, and then fucking Joe Pesci is Foggy. Like, ah, you motherfucker, fucking. stick a fucking pencil in your eye, you fucking... I'm sorry, Yana. I'm sorry, Yana. I got carried away.
Oh, I think that's time to end. excellent stuff. So, Spider-Man.
No way home.
This is how I remember the movie titles after. I've got to like literally check my notes to figure out which home.
I
want to
say Spider-Man Homeless.
I want to say it has home in the title.
No Way Home. What do you give it out of? What are we doing? We're going moving forward. We go on the letterbox. Four, 5 stars.
I'm fully into letterbox.
We're going to do it. We're going 5 stars out of 5 stars on a 10-point scale. Tommy, hit me.
We're going 5 stars out of.
Out of 5 stars.
I was going to say, here we go. Look, I give it a nice 4.
4 stars.
Yep. And a nice blue shiny suit.
Nice.
To go with
nice.
Yeah, I'll also give it a nice 4 stars as well.
And a blue suit?
And a blue suit. Mm, let's just give it the stars for now, and we'll see how we go. Pulley B?
3.5 stars. Now get the fuck out of here.
You just look at you. You walk in here, you're like, that's your dick on the table.
Hey, I'm not scared of these fucking punks in fucking Disney suits, all right?
These motherfuckers.
Hey, I'm from around the way, you know what I mean? Ring on it?
After credit scenes, meh.
What did you, very meh. Like, I was excited. I was excited for the Multiverse of Madness, and now I'm like, eh.
Yeah, very indifferent.
I really don't like Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I don't like Doctor Strange. I hate him as a character. I don't really like Tom Hardy's iteration of Venom, probably just being used to the OG Amazing Spider-Man cartoon of Venom. So
yep.
I know that's... it's not just... those movies are just probably aren't for me.
Although, Let There Be Carnage is one of the funniest movies I've fucking ever seen.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
It's bad,
yeah,
but it's fucking hilarious. I was like, oh, okay, this is... I see you don't care at all, do you?
They don't.
You're
they
doing it for a paycheck. Care.
Yeah, I same thing when I watched that. I was like, huh.
It's so bad at the start. They have like the younger versions of the villains, and they're like voiced up by the old. And it's so bad. It's I'm like, this is fucking great. I love you guys. It's just it's Schumacher level of just fuck it.
That is we're here to make toys. Comparison.
Yeah, we're here to make toys. Fuck it. Tom Hardy's in it. It'll make a fucking $1 million. I don't care.
But yeah, that whole Hardy scene, very let down by. I know we talked about this, but like. I knew he wasn't going to get a lot of play, but I figured more
I thought he might interact with Holland a little bit.
Yeah, you know? Even like, because this is how I wanted it to go down, right? You know, in the end when he, you know, he's seeing MJ and Ned to see if they remember him and, you know, turns out the spell worked. They don't.
Turns around, runs into Tom Hardy.
Well, you know, Tom Hardy, they just brush shoulders in the street.
He's like a butterfly effect, like Ashton Kutcher
in the street. And just a little bit of the symbiote on his fucking shoulder and then...
It would have been perfect. But no. You have Hardy doing his whole Hardy thing. And he's, I don't know, he's just playing manic at that point. I know he's meant to be drunk.
I don't know what he's doing.
I didn't know.
But here's the thing. I think Tom Hardy's one of those actors where you actually need to be a director to direct him. Otherwise, he's going to be like, yeah, sure, I'll do whatever you want. And then just does what he's going to do.
Sure, I'll fly the plane and say no dialogue for the majority of the movie.
But then when he's in a movie with some guy, he's just some guy. He's like, oh, you're the director of this picture? Yeah, all right, son. Sit down. Roll the camera. I'll do this.
I got this.
You get 3 takes at most.
Yeah.
So yeah, underwhelming for the after credit scene. Once again, Blade shows up. I'm all in. I'm excited. I'm back in, baby.
Spider-Man, Blade, I'm in. You got me.
These motherfuckers always trying to skate uphill.
Stabbing Morbius. So that's pretty much it. Thanks for coming along again.
Hey,
thanks for having me. Are you tearing Inferno?
Thanking us or thanking the
the
listeners?
I'm thanking you guys. Thank you. I don't really care. If people listen to this, that's on you.
Buddy, you know that it's very easy to get me and Tom to a podcast. You just have to set up these mics. You set a pack of rollies here, a backwards baseball cap here, and me and Tom will rise out of our respective graves like, who has summoned us? Yes. Mm. And you'd be like, you want to do a podcast? And be like, yeah, sure, man.
I walk in the room with my frozen Coke. I put it down. And popcorn. Yeah, that's my brand. There you go. Maybe I'll just summon you even more now. We'll see what happens. Yeah, we get it, Simon. Cool. Thanks for coming along. If you like the show, you can go over and give us a rating on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Now do ratings as well. You can find the show over on Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Play, and all good podcast services. It is Radio Watson. I am over on Twitter at BuddyWatson12. The show is at RadioWatson_Tom. You are at TFHiggins89.
No, I don't think the 89. No, really? 89 on Twitter. No, 89 for Instagram. Twitter.
You're just straight up TF Higgins. TF Higgins. Mate, yeah. You got it.
It's confusing, bro. Get your branding together.
Yeah.
Well, like, I don't know what you're doing. Like, just fucking figure it out. It's not that hard.
Motherfucker, I can cut you.
And Paul's over on Twitter at DayRecluse.
DayRecluse, yeah.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like, you have your brand synergy. You should know this. You work in an office.
And if you want to hear us talk shit about Tom, definitely let us know. We can kind of organize that next time. Like I said, summoning.
Why do I come here?
Why? Because he put a fucking pack of rollies there and he just summoned out of the ground. That's why. Look, there's can't help it. You made a pack with the devil. You can't change it.
You're now playing the role as Buddy, RBC, circa 2016.
Oh, simple See? Times.
Shouldn't have sat on the fence. All right. And we are done and dusted. So on behalf of Tom, Bully B, myself, Buddy Watson, this is... That's all right, it's not Review Culture. It's Radio Watson, out. Let's see that a hero can save us. I'm not gonna stand